Saul and the other wind of hearing that stood on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven, nor earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look down. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look down. And one of the elders said unto me, read that. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. And I beheld him, lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, and he could put time, stand on him. And to the lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into the world. And he came and took the book, having the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book before the beast, let me get it, and the four beasts, and 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Tomorrow is fast day. Tomorrow is prayer meeting day. If you wonder what God does with your tears and your prayer, I just read it. I'm going to tell you new saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and God unto me. And I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and forever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. There's a song that says, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah has got me the victory again." In the Word of God, there are many names, and that which by which the Lord is called. He is called the Lord. He's called prophet. He's called the high priest. He's called the king. He's called the author and the finisher. He's called the bright morning star. He's called the chief cornerstone and the faithful and true witness. But he's also called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. My message to you this morning is victory. Through the Lamb. If you wonder where Jesus is, I don't know where a lot of this is, but I know where he is. He sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. He will never, ever give up that lasting position. The Father invited him there. Come and sit by my side until they recognize me for the Lord. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. I want you to go back with me in the story of what is going on here in this. We are all familiar with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Does anybody know what Jacob's name was changed to? But there's a story about what Jacob did before he died. He blessed his children. In that blessing, he let everyone know what they would receive. But I want to read to you from the book of Genesis, chapter 49 and verse 9. It says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. In all of the blessings that Jacob bestowed upon his children, this one was special. This was prophetic. Judah was not the oldest son. He was actually the fourth in line. But he received this blessing. It is a blessing with a promise. It is a promise with a blessing. And out of your loins, out of you, out of Judah, is going to come the Messiah. He shall take away the sins of the people. He shall save them from their sins. That would not be sold upon any of the rest of the family. That would not be sold upon the rest of the children. When you read of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, you can take it all the way back 2,000 years to a time when God said, I'm going to do this, and it makes no difference what generation you live in. It makes no difference, no difference what time you live in. You have to deal with the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He is permanent. I can show you, but I actually went into my son's concordance and looked. I see that Jacob used three words to describe his son. He called him, and I'm giving you the English translation because I couldn't pronounce the Hebrew anyway. It means a lion's cub. It also means a lion and a lioness. What God is saying through Jacob to Judah is that your family, your descendants, are going to be like lions. You're going to be powerful, proud, and no one will dare stand against you. This Messiah, none is going to dare stand against him. I know foolish people. I know a man once that stood in an open area, simple fist of God, and said, come down and fight me. Ridiculous. People have every kind of a mental concept of Jesus Christ. They believe they can manipulate him. They believe they can stand before him. They think they can persuade him. But he is what he is. He is the Son of God. He came to do nothing but the will of the Father. He knows what that is. And you're not going to change him from that appointed path. You're not going to change him from that. He said, I'm going to make Judah powerful. I'm going to make him strong. But that one that's going to come out of your loins, he's going to have all power. He's going to have all of them. He's going to have it all. And there is none like him in him.
there's something to be said. Who is worthy to open this scroll? Thank you, Matthew. I'm going to write this back. Who's worthy? We're all such a big hero. You're not going to touch us. We be coming out of faith before God. But John revelated when he saw that scroll, when he saw those seals, he wept. He broke and he wept. Man born of woman, never been one greater than John. He wept. He's not worthy to break the seals. He's not worthy to unroll the scroll, to read that book, to look on it, to take a heavenly beauty. To go over and calm John down. John, don't you weep. Because there is one that is worthy to open the scroll, to break these seals, to not trample so tight. There is one worthy. John said, I saw one standing in the midst, and he was to look upon him as to look upon the Lamb that has been slain from before the foundation of the world. This promise was said that will come from Judah will be the Lion. When he came born of the girl, born of a woman, he was a lamb. He was a precious lamb. Precious lamb of glory. Love's most wondrous form. Is not like him. But when he stood in heaven at the throne of God, he saw the meek and the humble lamb that is going to be slain. His life is going to be destroyed. He's going to lay it down. He said there, John saw it. John was not weeping anymore because he saw one that was worthy. 2,000 years ago, he had been promised, but now the one that is worthy is standing in the midst, and he takes the scroll and is worthy to break it. I make no apologies for telling you that I fear God. I know idiots that don't, but I fear God. I've been, and I said this verse tonight in my message. Studying for some number of weeks. I've looked into some things of prophecy. I'm not ready to preach to you. But I've looked at this Kim Jong Un in North Korea. They say he is mentally disturbed. You don't have to tell me that. That infidel, that unbeliever, dare raise his arm against this nation where God's people live, a lot of them, and we finance the gospel all over the world. He may say, I'm not afraid of America, but if he had any sense, he would. I'm not going to give into any of it now, but there are perfect descriptions of a nuclear war in the Bible. You go read the 9th chapter of the book of Revelation, 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. You read the 5th chapter of the book of Zechariah. I said it once tonight. Zechariah said that he saw a roll going through the heavens. A roll, R-O-L-L, a roll. He gave the dimensions of that roll. He said, if we take it and do it in our mathematics, that roll is 30 feet long and 10 feet in circumference. And the ruin that that roll brings is devastating. I'm not getting into all of that right now. But I am telling this church, and anyone that I have a chance to talk to, you better get in this hour. You better be in that place of security and safety. And that is only to be found in Jesus Christ. It's coming on this earth. It's coming to the entire earth. And none are going to be able to escape that elder. Went over and said, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals. We don't read the Bible for the most part. I'm talking about even Christians. I don't read the Bible. What are you talking about? I know they don't. There's no fear of God in them. There's no wisdom. It's only darkness. And the one thing about the darkness that comes over man, he doesn't recognize it. I've often said there is nothing that I fear more than deception. When you're deceived, you think you're right, but you're wrong. God comes to give us truth. He is the truth. The devil comes to cloud your mind to the truth. We must know this, that God, what he was doing with John, was letting him know that Jesus was the fulfillment of Jacob's prophecy. Yes, he was. That's exactly what it was. Let's look at this line. Let's look at him in the natural. Their message, their recall. There's the beauty to all of them. I was out of my office at home for a few minutes Thursday. Get my eyes on the list. Turned on the TV. You say, that one is mine, that one is mine too. But there was a documentary on there about lions. So, pay a little attention. But they were saying that they believe that a lion in the natural, not in the natural, I'm just throwing this in, that lions that are in nature, that they have an ability to count. They said we learn this because no matter how many enemies the enemy of lions comes against the lion, that lion will give one roar for every one of those enemies that have come in to win the fight. And they will learn from them. I don't want to be the enemy of God. But no matter how beautiful they are, and there's no beauty like the beauty of Christ. But if you look at that lion in the natural, behind his beauty is a vicious, vicious killer predator. No matter how pretty you think he is. Behind that beauty, behind that mane, behind all of it, there's strength, there's power. There's no beauty like the beauty of my God. But my God says, when I come, I'm going to destroy everything that is worthy of being destroyed. I will have patience. I will have patience. They say that one of the largest pursuits in the world is in St. Louis. I know St. Louis is for nothing. But my wife and I, along with some of our dear friends in Illinois, we went to the St. Louis Retreat. That was a story in itself. There were lions, of course, in that too. I did not see one minute of a person go up and start poking at that lion. Hello? I didn't see anyone trying to take that lion's food. That cage belongs to that lion. Don't poke it. If you can get to it. That food belongs to that lion. Don't try to take it away from him. With the family of the tribe of Judah has some kids. He has a family. He has some children. When the good ones one time were traveling, they were seeing that son. That's my child in the midst of the storm. They remember all the time while I'm preaching. I can't if I stop preaching, but I'm really preaching and singing the song. Do not fear the raging waters. That's my child in the midst of the storm. I may not look like much to you, and you may not look like much to somebody else, but they've got a big deal. I'm sure what they're doing when they go talking about you. They better know what they're doing when they, Jesus said, it'd be better if you had a millstone tied about your neck, casting the sea into the fender of mine. We have no fear, but we have a line. There was prophesied years ago, I'm a shelter in the time of your storm. I'm a shelter in your time. What that lion is saying, when he growls, he's saying, leave me alone. Leave me alone. What Jesus is saying in his book is obey me, but you better leave me alone. Do you fear God? The Bible said that's the beginning of wisdom. The lion is the tribe of Jesus. Can we sing that? Let me let you know that song. You take me to the I want to see if I can help you. 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 The lion of the tribe of Judah has broken everything. Every victory I've ever had in my life. You say, you're making something out of nothing. Go read the book of Zechariah and the book of Jeremiah, and you will find that there is one nation by the name of Babylon. And they dare do exactly what I'm preaching today. God had prophets. God had people. And when Babylon began to bring the trouble, what they were doing is they were poking at the Lord. They were questioning, does God really have all power? They have carried off the people of Judah and celebrated as if they had the power to do what they wanted to do in their own mind. The prophet Zechariah said in Zechariah 2:13, he said, be quiet, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he has raised up out of his own mind. God said enough. Faith is settled. All carnality is going to settle. All flesh, the sons against the people of God, are going to be destroyed. Some people believe in eternal salvation. That is, that you can't fall from salvation. Some people believe that because that's the only thing they can do. Zechariah is speaking to that. Does anybody know what Babylon is today? The reason I took such interest in that, I'm at war. The old original garden was right there. Babylon was big and tall, big and strong. But when Jesus, when God set up, the devil was nothing. Do you hear me? They had poked around on a sleeping land, and that lion is still around. The Lord, like the king of beasts, was saying, and I was a king. Let me read you another scripture. It's in Jeremiah chapter 40 and verse Jeremiah 50, 44. Behold, he shall come out like a lion from the swelling of Jordan, and to the habitation of the throne. But I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint him over us. For who is like me? And who will appoint me the king? And who is that king that will stand before me? What God is saying? The light can become light. It could look like the light against me. What God is saying is that there is no man. I was that time to come up with this morning, but I don't. When I read my text last verse tonight, part of it had to do with the fact that there was an attack made on sheep and where the sheep was just passed. There was an attack made on those animals. The Bible says the shepherds made noise. A multitude of shepherds cried out against that enemy. It was noise. But the latter part of that verse says that God came down out of heaven. He took care of the problem. He won the victory. I feel sorry for people I really, really absolutely do. I mean, my heart goes, I can't fall if they're my enemy. God tells me love my enemy. Isn't that right? I love they're my enemy, and he says, you love your enemy. I love people. Hate to see what's happened to a lot of them. I just see things about them they don't see about themselves. They're in darkness. They're up in arms. Hello? I told Jim when I got the first church on Aspen, I made a statement. I said, I don't know if this is the fall of the world or not. I was, you know, you just begin to question, you begin to look at everything. What's the problem? What's going on? What's the issue? I know the devil comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. The devil comes into the house of God and takes the sheep away. But that lamb has been around. He's not that lamb that came to be slain. He's that lamb that has come to slay. You'll get that after a while. He's not the lamb that came to give up the ghost and tell people, you did not kill me. I let my life go. Every now and then, I don't know if it's every now and then, we see where maybe a baby, a youngster, falls into a pit. And you see, I'm not too long ago, and that big role. We do everything that we can to stay. Some of us are not a lot of ages. We may be in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever. We're falling into that. God said, wake up. The rest of you sleep, they sleep of what? Death. We're asleep. And it's a sleep of death. We weep. I make no excuse for the fact that I'm glad I have a tender heart. I'm glad that I can weep. I think everybody, while the musicians are coming, has similar thoughts. I know people that won't cry when they're old. They're worried about their children. They will worry and they will weep over them when they get sick. I can always give them a good example. Describe a mother sitting in a hospital room, human beings, sitting in a hospital room. The boy. He's a man, but it's her son. He's a boy. Do you remember how he described it? He said, I'm going to dress it out for you. He said, they put her sat there until her feet were so sore, she couldn't wait for me. She would take care of herself, but never leave her room, never leave her house. He said, the sorrow of that boy. Mother said, they're grieving over that boy. It looked like he was going to die. But his mother was lost for him. That do not even take him. This is serious. Jesus said, if there was a rock, he's the rock, right? He said, if there's a rock, if you fall on this rock, it will break you. But if this rock falls on you, As two sides to this, why I was attracted to Judah, he's my protector, he's my defender, and there's not anything in form against me that can kill me. Nothing. Nothing. And so there's a side. He can be a God of anger. He's fallen. People ask God in his spirit questions. God, who are you? What kind of stuff? God, if you cared about me, you would have healed my sickness. Our life's dead. When we attempt to turn our backs on God, it's dangerous to turn your back on God. It's a serious matter. And I do believe why. I do believe that we can question. I think that we can question God. That we, when we do this, we can do that. When that is an excuse, when that is a challenge, you see, when you call on me, where were you? Where was I? When the church, when the Christian in the church were facing trials, God said, there's no time to act and do this. Do you think you're not the one to come up? I can almost quote it. And I will turn my back and I will let you. Do you fear God? Do you have a fear? Do you have a fear of God? He's the only one that has all the power. He's the only one that has all the answers. See, the only one that is nothing.